What's up, everybody? My name is Jake Lazarus, and welcome back to Sports Media Insider, where we're breaking down all the top headlines shaping the future of sports, media, and the business all in between. Today, we're talking hockey, not the Stanley Cup final, not the NHL draft, but something that's going to shape everything from player salaries to media rights to how athletes show up on a camera before a game. On Friday, the NHL and the NHL Players Association agreed in principle to a new collective bargaining agreement, a four-year extension that'll carry through the 2029-2030 season. There was no drama and no lockouts this time, just a quiet deal that could have some pretty massive implications. So in this episode, I'm going to walk you through what's in the new CBA, why it matters, and what it says about where the NHL is going, both on the ice and at the negotiating table. So let's start with the basics. A collective bargaining agreement, or CBA, is the contract that governs the relationship between the league and its players. Everything, and I mean literally everything, is in there. How salaries work, revenue sharing, player health and safety, travel, free agency, you name it, it's probably in the collective bargaining agreement. The current NHL CBA was signed back in 2013, and then it was extended in 2020 during the COVID season. That deal is set to expire in 2026. So this new four-year extension takes us through 2030. And unlike in 2012, when the league locked out and players and we as fans lost half a season, this time things were quite smooth. Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, called it completely refreshing. He said it gives the league a, quote, sense of stability, a sense of certainty, and a sense of optimism. And in a media landscape where stability seems like currency, that really matters. So what actually changed? First and most obvious, the NHL regular season is growing from 82 games to 84. That's the first time we've seen an 84-game schedule since the early 80s. But why actually add two more games? Think of it this way. More games equals more content. More content equals more inventory, and more inventory, especially leading into a new round of media negotiations, means more leverage and more revenue opportunities. Those two games could be rivalry matchups, they could be global games overseas, or any other marquee event tied to major sponsors. Whatever they are, they're not random, they're revenue sources. Secondly, the NHL is officially dropping its mandatory player dress code before and after games. Now, that might sound really, really small, but it's a huge signal about the league's image. For years, the NHL was the last major American pro league still requiring players to wear suits to the rink. This move aligns the league with modern athlete branding, giving athletes a space to express themselves that show their fashion, build their brands, and the most important, connect with their fans on social media. We've seen the power in the NBA tunnel, and it's time for NHL stars, especially the younger stars, to cash in. Now let's talk money. The minimum salary is rising from $775,000 in 25-26 season to $1 million by the end of the deal, so 2030. That's a steady climb that reflects the league's financial growth, at least how they project it. And it's also a way to keep younger players happy and financially secure. At the top of the market, things are tightening though. Contract limits are changing. Instead of 8-year extensions with your current team, the max is now 7. And instead of 7 years with a new team, it's 6. That again starts in 2026. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it really could have some ripple effects across the league. Now, why is that? Because shorter contracts usually mean higher annual values, AAVs. Teams and agents can't stretch big money over a decade anymore, so players will push for more money up front. That could lead to more player movement and more aggressive deals and fewer buyout-proof contracts that front-load bonuses. We're also seeing a new playoff salary cap introduced, designed to curb the kind of long-term IR manipulation that we've seen in recent years. Think back to Patrick Kane in 2015, the Lightning in 2021, or Vegas in 2023. The idea is to close a loophole where teams stash injured players on the long-term IR, adding big pieces at the trade deadline, and then activate everyone just in time for the playoffs when the cap no longer applies. Now, details are still emerging and will continue to emerge until 2026 when we have the official document, but the goal is competitive balance. Next up, the Olympics are back. NHL players will participate in the 2030 Winter Olympics in France, and there's even potential language for the 2038 Salt Lake City Games too. Now, that's a huge win for fans, players, and the league's global brand. It adds international exposure, narrative building opportunities, and again, valuable content. And speaking of safety, starting in 2026, all NHL players will be required to wear neck guards. This comes a few years after the tragic death of Adam Johnson in 2023 when a skate cut his neck during a game. The NHL is responding late, but it's still meaningful. So what does this all say about where the NHL is headed? Let's zoom out a little bit. The last CBA was 10 years long. This one, just 4. Now, I don't think that's a coincidence. The NHL's current media rights deal with ESPN and TNT expires after the 2027-28 season, right in the middle of this new CBA. Negotiations are expected to begin mid-2020, and the league will want flexibility. This shorter CBA gives them that. It also shows the players' side is more active. Younger players want a say. The next generation of stars from Connor Bedard, last class in 2025, will be negotiating in real time, not sitting on the sidelines for a decade. And on the league side, this new deal, even before it's fully ratified, becomes a marketing tool and leverage at the negotiating table. Gary Bettman called it a sense of stability, and that message is going to show up in pitch decks to media executives. It's also worth noting, ESPN is very likely to remain a partner, in my opinion. TNT's future is a little less clear, and streamers like Amazon or Apple could come into play, especially if the league hits its $1 billion potential target. You know, that's a huge jump from its current $640 million per year deal the league gets from ESPN and TNT combined. But if the league can package regular season expansion, some Olympic content, global games, and improved player branding into a cohesive pitch, you know, it's not out of reach if ESPN dives deep into their pockets with a streamer and potentially TNT as a third partner. So that's where we are. The NHL and its players struck a massive, significant deal. One that expands the season, modernizes the league's image, and tweaks the financials, and sets the stage for the next round of potential billion-dollar negotiations. Is it the perfect deal? Not really. But it's a signal that the NHL sees growth ahead, and it's planning for a more flexible, global, and content-rich future. If you found this breakdown helpful, make sure to subscribe to Sports Media Insider on Substack or LinkedIn. It's free every Monday, and we're diving deeper into stories just like this one every week. Thanks for listening. I'm Jake Lazarus, and you are listening to Sports Media Insider.